If I could really sing, I would. And if I wasn't so fat, I'd flip right now. Praise the living Lord. He is the super guest that's the host this morning. And so let the Lord speak to your heart. Let him love on you. That's what he loves to do. I think it's Derek and Ashley. Am I right? Thank you for being here. Pastor Rudy, family. Thank you so much for being here. Brother Tom, thank y'all. Everyone that's here, thank you so much. You know, the Lord, he loves to love on us, and he's going to do that this morning. It's great honor for me to have Pastor D and Tammy here. And we consider them gold members here, gold card members. And but they're special friends of ours. And I want to tell you something. They're here because they have a heartbeat for Jesus. They serve the body of Christ overall. And I want to tell you something about serving, because they do serve. They're servant leaders. And you touch many. You touch us. You touch me. Thank you for loving on me. You love on me. You love on this church. You know, we believe in that. And it's my honor, because his heart pulsates with Jesus. And he lets Jesus be the main thing. I can't say that about everybody, but he does. And so it's my joy. And you know what? Tammy probably knows this sermon as well as he does. But I've asked him to go ahead and preach it today. So Pastor D, why don't you come? And let's give the Lord a thank you offering for Pastor D and Tammy being here. And I love you.
Amen. Amen, everybody. Praise God. It's good to see everyone. You know, I got to just say this. Look, I told my wife, I said, I'm going to open up in song. But then I heard the bees, and I said, no, I'm not going to do that. She said, you better not. Oh, my goodness. Praise God. I just love listening to you. It just touches my heart so much, just the passion for our Lord that comes out of you. And just, I know everyone can say that same thing. Can I have my little water, Tam, please? My wife, Tammy. But I just want to say, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we love you so very much. Today, we're honored to be here. Lord, just to give glory, praise to you, knowing that God, hallelujah, we're here because you've risen. Hallelujah. Thank you for grace unlimited today. Lord, I thank you that signs, miracles, and wonders will follow today. Lord, will be about us as we give glory to your name and glory to your kingdom. Use me and speak through me to touch your people today. Let us walk away better than we came in and give you all the glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I got to say that I love my brother, Pastor Tim, and First Lady. I love them with a deep, sincere love from my heart, and I am grateful every time just to come in fellowship. I'm so honored whenever he says, hey, you want to come and preach, because the pulpit is, you know, it's entrusting someone with who God has entrusted you with. And so I'm very grateful. I don't take it lightly. This message has been, I brought the big Bible today. Yes. So I, one reason, because it's got big letters. But praise God. I've been in it, and you know, I joke about it being big letters, but it has lots of space, you know, because you can read something and God will give you a word in that to expound on it. And then, you know, you're like, my little boy, you're like, oh, I'm running out of, you know, then I have to get a bunch of notes. And I just write it in there. And it's so, so wonderful and so amazing. But I'm grateful for, I see my sister and all of the family. I'm glad to see them again. And I've got some of my spiritual family here, spiritual sons. And I'm my friends, I'm not going to call them out to embarrass them, but I'm so grateful that they got to come today and fellowship on this day with me. Christ's resurrection is our living hope and our sure salvation. Sure. You know, in the kingdom of God, there's a family, and it's God's family. And I know that when we come into a service like this, we may think, because we see everyone, we might live together, we might be in the vicinity of each other in the same community, but not all of us are a part of the family of God. And it's a very special family, and I say that because Lyndon Ravenhill said opportunities of a lifetime need to be seized during the lifetime of the opportunity. In this message, you're going to hear family words, words that may not be familiar with some of you, but words that are from the kingdom. And I say that to you because I want to prepare you that in the kingdom, we have a language. In the kingdom, we have an identification. In the kingdom, we have a responsibility. And so when you hear these words, and it's not short to you, there's a way that it can be revelation to you. Proclamation is the affirmation of revelation. We proclaim those things we affirm to be truth. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." That's truth. Romans 10:9 says, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." That's also true. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ." That's truth. What do you proclaim as truth today? I say this because I want us to take a moment, Pastor, just a moment to say that what you might have been thinking is truth may not be what God calls truth, and we want to know what God calls truth and being in his family and his word. And so today, right now, the Bible says all who call on the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. I want to take a moment just before I start, because this is a family message, because this terminology is kingdom terminology, I don't want you left out. I want you inclusive. So I'm going to take a moment with respect to Pastor. Just bow your heads for a moment, just a moment. So just this, all I want you to do is I want you, if you want to say today, I'm coming to the family. Today, I want to hear the message that is spoken to me. Today, I want to understand with a kingdom roundness. And so today, I want you to place your trust in Jesus. If you've never done that before, place your trust in him. And just, but right now, you can pray this short prayer with me and believe it in your heart. Say, "Lord Jesus," let's do it all together. "Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I'm sorry I sinned against you. I believe you're the Son of the living God. I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe God raised you from the dead. I believe you have the gift of eternal life. Lord Jesus, will you give me that free gift? Your word says we're saved by grace through faith. Today I receive that grace through faith. I proclaim you as my Lord and Savior. Today I'm saved. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving me eternal life and saving me and bringing me into the family of God. I pray this prayer in your name, Jesus. Amen." Praise God. Praise God. Maybe that was you that prayed that for the first time. This is a loving church, and there's someone that will be talking to you. Share that with them. And if you need a church home, this is a wonderful place to be. But they want to walk that journey with you. I'm not trying to embarrass anyone, but you'll be able to find a leader in the church and talk to them about that commitment. It's beautiful. In the family of God, Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back for us and now you that prayed that prayer. Praise God. A living hope and a sure salvation. My goodness, my goodness, my goodness. I had this because I'm reading from 1 Peter in the NASB. And I thought that, you know, I often have lots of notes, but I wanted to use this because I've got notes in here that God is specifically, I know, wants me to share with you. The revelation knowledge that comes sometimes, you just can't contain it. And I know that this is a time when when this is supposed to be, many people say Easter, Happy Easter, but we want to know it's Resurrection Sunday, because there's power in the resurrection. That same resurrection power is in us to do the things that God has called us to do. So you can read along with me. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, Texas, in the USA, who are chosen. 1 Peter 1 in the NASB. I'm reading this chapter here, and you can follow along with me. But those who are chosen, and when you pray that prayer, you come into the chosen family. So now God calls you his own. And so he says, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. So God says in this, right off the bat, we're chosen by God, set apart and sanctified by the Holy Spirit, and submit it to the obedience of Christ Jesus. Right there. That's it. That's a power-packed message right in itself. But this is what we get to hear. This is an encouragement to the family. This is to let you know, despite everything that you might be hearing on the news, you have enough in you to change situations and circumstances. And so he says, may grace, peace be yours in the fullest measure. I proclaim that over you today. Grace and peace be over you in the fullest measure. Receive. Your days of lack are over. Your days of unruliness are over. Peace and grace be upon you in the fullest measure in Jesus' name. He says, blessed be the God. I'm just reading God's word. This is the, I'm his son. I'm his child. This is what we do. You were singing God's words today, the family. We're just saying God's word. Here we go. We're reading it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy, what a merciful, loving God. I said I was going to be calm today, Pastor, but boy, the beans got me started. My goodness. It says, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again, living hope. A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The Bible says we were united with him in the likeness of his death. Romans 6:5, we're surely united with him in the likeness of his resurrection. He died. We died with him that we can be raised up in him. That's something you have to see. You have to remember. My goodness. Why is that? To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for us. Who's the us? Us who are protected by the power of God. Listen, you are protected by the power of God. Why are you fearing this day and the troubles of the world? You're protected by the power of God, the creator of the universe, my God, through a faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Jesus is coming back. And you know, this salvation, it says in the next, in this we greatly rejoice. Rejoice about this salvation. I have a friend of mine that he, you know, he's a pastor, he's 95, still drives, wonderful man of God, one of my spiritual fathers, and he looks out, and he says, he looks up when he goes to his car, he just looks up, Jesus, come, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, come. Every day he does that. And my wife and I got the privilege of speaking in Seattle a couple weeks ago, and she was speaking at a women's conference, and I was ministering at the church. And when we did that, you know, we go to the airport. They usually, Pastor, they have a team that comes, picks us up, take us to the hotel, et cetera. But this time, we came out of the airport. I came out of the airport. We came out, and they had parked down a distance. And then when my wife came around, they ran to us. With joy, they ran to us. I'm telling you, when Jesus comes, we want to run to him. That salvation, looking at him, because he's coming back for us that call him Lord and Savior. What a day that will be. And so now, he says, even though now, don't get distracted. Even though now, for a little while, if necessary, we've been distressed by various trials. So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What if, listen, be careful what you're trying to pray away. What if Joseph had said, Lord, get me out of this prison? We've got to know our destiny. God has called us to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, give sight to the blind, heal the brokenhearted, set the captives free. God has called us to be world changers. And when you give a thing, and situations come to you, don't shoo them away. Stand strong because he's trying to stir your faith. Because you think one person is something, wait till he sends you a hundredfold. And you've gone up there and you're just healed. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be blessed in the name of Jesus. He's trying to stir your faith up. We are situation experts and circumstance changers in this world. We have the glory of heaven. The resurrection power flows through us. The world should be coming to us looking for solutions and answers because we carry the glory in us. My goodness. And though you have not seen him now, it says you love him. Don't you love him? Oh, my goodness. And though you don't see him now, but you believe in him. Now, we all pray that we believe in him. We greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Let me just pause a second here. Joy inexpressible and full of glory. Listen, how many of you guys like ice cream? Just so everybody can participate. Ice cream. Where's my little niece, Elle? Elle, you like ice cream? She does. You can raise your hand. Now, look around. Look at people's smiling faces when you talk about ice cream. She put both hands up. Joy, ice cream. You love that. But I want to tell you a story about inexpressible joy. I want to tell you another story. It's from John 4:28. And it's about a lady that went to the well to get some water. And she carried a jar because it was at that time, that's what she needed was the water. And then when the Bible says she went there because what? Because nobody was supposed to be there at that time. You know what I'm saying? Nobody was there. She was full of shame, full of humiliation, full of doubt, fear, did not know the town had shunned her. And that was the time for her to go into the water that she needed when no one else was around. But God says she encountered the living water. And the Bible says not only did she encounter the living water and count that moment, but the Bible says that, look, in one translation, that she left the jar that she came there to fill and ran to the very town that shunned her, that she was hiding from. She ran to him, left the shame, left the confusion, left the pride, left the humiliation, ran to the town. And the Bible says they ran back. Now, they didn't want anything to do with her, but she must have had some type of influence on her. I believe when she encountered Jesus, the glory of heaven was upon her, and then she ran back. They all ran back with her to see about a man who told them about all she had done. Could it be the Messiah? That's inexpressible joy. My goodness. And we have to recognize what we have here. We have to recognize we are not just ordinary people. Oh, my God. My God, we are not ordinary. We are kingdom sons and daughters. And we have to live in a realm of kingdom-mindedness. And I say that to you because think about this. It says in verse 9, obtaining as an outcome of our faith the salvation of our souls. Many people come in and they're comfortable with going to heaven, not realizing that heaven has come to live in us. You see, what if Pastor and my wonderful, amazing sister, First Lady, you know, when they get married and they're coming back from the honeymoon and he brings her to the house and it's pouring down rain and they're just happy to get everything in the house and they get in the house and Pastor's excited and he's showing her all through the house and telling her about all of this and this is ours and this is where the kitchen is and all these things and he's just walking away. And he turns around, and First Lady's not even there. And he's like, where did I lose her? What's going on? And he goes back out, and she's standing there in the foyer, in the house, just in the front. She's just standing there because she doesn't realize that all of that belonged to her. That was her inheritance. She brought that. God has given us everything in our inheritance. Everything we need pertaining to life and godliness has been given to us. Listen, don't sell short what God has given you. There's much more than going to heaven. Heaven is amazing, but let the heaven in you rise up and take a hold and change this world for Jesus. The resurrection is everything. There's power in the resurrection. Hallelujah. My goodness, Pastor. Something about this is an anointed pulpit. I was going to come up here with a little squeaky voice. I might sing after all. No, just say. I can only sing when the anointing comes on. That's when I'm in the car by myself. It says, as to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to us made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but us. They were serving us. In these things which now have been announced to us through those who preach the gospel to us by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things to which angels long to look, the angels will say, my goodness, look at this. Who is man that you should treat him so? Who is man? The angels have been there forever. This is amazing to us. And he says, therefore. Now, you've got a man of God pastor right here. I tell you, when you see therefore, you got to know what it's there for, right? And so when you see he says that, well, you got to know what it's there for. So I'm going to tell you, therefore. Now, because of, you know what? You're chosen by God. When you said yes, you're chosen by God, set apart by the Holy Spirit, and submitted to the obedience of Christ Jesus. Therefore, you have what? A living hope. Jesus is coming back. My hope is alive. He's coming back for me. I have a sure salvation. When he comes back, you don't have to look around this. I'm there. Therefore, because you have the package, because you know that your salvation is secure, because he's resurrected, because of that faith and knowing that he is who he says he is, he can do what he says he can do, and he's done what he says he has done, and he's coming back because of the resurrection, then therefore, it says, prepare your minds for action. Get ready. Fix your hope completely. On the great, it says, be sober in spirit, and then fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Hear me. He was our example for the joy set before him. Hebrews 12:2. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father. What was that joy? That joy was seeing us come into the kingdom. The joy set before him. Stand strong. Don't give up. Endure till the end. My goodness. He says, as obedient children. Let me make clear to you to understand, as obedient children. We think about this. In the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, it was a prescription of how we were to be. In order to get this, you had to do that. If you want God to bless you, you need to do this. ABC 1, 2, 3. You need to do this so that you can end up with that. In the new covenant, because of Christ, our everything, and we are in Christ Jesus. Now it's no longer a prescription, 10 steps to do this. Now it's a description of who you are. You are blessed because you are in Christ Jesus. You are given because you are in Christ Jesus. You are obedient children because you're in Christ Jesus, because Christ Jesus' obedience becomes ours. God sees us through Christ Jesus shed blood. So that's how you have to start looking at the word, through the revelation of grace, which is now done. See yourself through the eyes of Christ. It says, don't be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance when you didn't know any better. Okay, God didn't have any ignorant children, so he has smart ones. So when you come in here, he's like, when you come in here, think about that. When you come in here, you got children that are believers, they're brilliant. They're brilliant. I tell you, my goodness. Well, glory, that just hit me right now. Because you come in the king, because God doesn't have any ignorant children, just brilliancy. Just roll out there. Tell them every day how brilliant they are. But he says, but like the Holy One, that's right. But like the Holy One, doesn't matter how old they are. They can be, that's right, tell them, you're brilliant. But like the Holy One who called you, the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. He is holy. Our Father is holy. Our Father is holy. The Bible says, Pastor, that Romans 5:1 in the passage, our faith in Christ Jesus transfers God's righteousness to us, and he sees us blameless, forgiven. Because of Jesus. And then it says in Ephesians 4:30 in the Passion, it also says that the Holy Spirit seals us in Christ until we experience the fullness of our salvation. We are not like the world. We are different. Know who you are. Walk out your destiny as Listen, as obedient children, God has called you. Do what you hear the Father say to you to do. My goodness, we are world changers. We are world changers. It says, if you address as Father, the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on this earth, knowing that you were, oh my goodness, hear the good news, hear the gospel, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold. You were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold. You were not redeemed with perishable things, things that you can throw away, things that will fade, things that will corrupt. You were not redeemed with that kind of a thing, things that goes up in value and go down in value. No, 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 no. The Bible says that we with precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ, glory to God, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for our sake. That's you and that's me, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that our faith and our hope are in God. And since we have, in obedience to the truth, purified our souls for sincere love of the brethren, through Jesus Christ, recognize your identity and fervently love one another. When you walk in here, you sense that love, because this is a love church. It's okay if you love one another. It's okay if you be the hands and feet of Christ. You can go out into the community and represent, because God's love is greater than your situation or circumstances. It says, for we have been born again, hallelujah, not of seed that is corruptible, is perishable, but imperishable. And that is through the living and enduring word of God. All flesh, say all flesh, my God. All flesh, hallelujah, is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The flowers wither, and the grass withers, and the flower falls off. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you today. I'm going to go over in chapter 2. That was chapter 1. Go to chapter 2, down to verse 21. The same 1 Peter 2, 21 to 25, just these four verses. Hear this, what it says. Christ is our example. The power of the resurrected Christ. He's giving you an example how we can endure upon this earth because of him. Everything about him, we look to him and be strengthened. And you know, the Bible actually says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In this life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So in reality, Christ is wanting to live his life through me. Don't try to block him. Let him live his life for me. It's a game changer. The things that he did on this earth, he desires us to do. Walk boldly, walk confidently, change situations and circumstances. I don't know how many times I tell you that that's who we are. We advance the kingdom of heaven on this earth by manifesting the glory of the kingdom of God within us, his righteousness, his peace, his joy in the Holy Spirit. It's for us to take dominion on this earth. Understand this. When you are in the flesh, your highest level of intellect is your mind, is your senses that you deal with, the senses. But when you have revelation knowledge, there is no limit. You can change situations and circumstances. You can, look, I'm telling you, let me tell you that. You, listen, what you think the world needs to do, it can take the world 6 years. It can take God 6 months. It can take the world 6 months. It can take the Lord 6 weeks. What can take the world 6 weeks? What God can do in 6 days. When 6 days come in, the world says, aha, I got it. I can do it in 6 days. God says, I can do it in 6 hours. When the world says, I'm going to do it and I'm doing it in 6 hours, then God says, I've got 6 minutes. When they say 6 minutes and they find a match up with God, he says, look, I've got it in 6 seconds. But look, when the world comes back and says, I can do it in 6 seconds, God says, Hebrews 11:1, now faith is. God says, I don't need any seconds. I do it now, because the Bible says, now faith is. Stir up your faith and know that God doesn't need a time. He has no time. He is time, all by himself, living in the realm of kingdom-mindedness. We are game changers and world changers because of the resurrection. Christ is our example. Verse 21, for you have been called for this purpose. We have been called for this purpose. since Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example for us to follow in his steps, who committed no sin. There was no deceit found in his mouth. While being reviled, he didn't revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats. He kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously, his Father. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. On the cross. On the cross. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds we were healed. We were continually straying like sheep, but now we have returned to the shepherd and the guardian of our souls to live in the resurrected power. To live in the resurrected power, it comes down to a battle of the will. Jesus said, if it be, take this cup from me, but not my will, thy will be done. A battle of the will. Are you really letting God lead your life? Or are you wanting to have that power? God says, not thy will, but my will be done. If we submit to him, there's life and peace. If we submit to him, there's power unspeakable, joy everlasting, love that surpasses all situations. You know, I got to say this. It's like this is what happens when you're in the kingdom. You know, I'm paying attention to the time, Pastor. I'm respectful of that. You know, listen. Do you come into a restaurant, Pastor, or a hotel or somewhere, and you go in there, you're washing your hands in the restroom, and you hear that little sound goes, and you look around and what is that sound? Somebody trying to call me? Is somebody hey does somebody recognize me? And you keep washing, and it goes, and you look and you recognize it's an air freshener in the ceiling, and what is it doing? It's just giving you that sweet-smelling aroma that, and you didn't do anything. I didn't climb up on a ladder, Rudy, and do that. No, I got the benefit of it. It was nice-smelling, fresh aroma, and we didn't do anything. But, oh, my God, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2:14, we carry that sweet-smelling aroma of the presence of the knowledge of God everywhere we go. When we go past non-believers, we're and they're just getting a little bit of God. Love. You don't even have to open your mouth, but they're getting God's love. And let me tell you something. It's not reserved just because he puts rain down on the just and the unjust. So even when you walk by a believer, I believe that God does something to them. He stirs in their spirit, and they get a double dose. I'm not going to spit. I'm telling you, God is that good. So think about it. You try it this afternoon. You're going to a restaurant. Just walk past somebody and just take a look at them. And you turn back and look, and they're smiling because that sweet-smelling aroma has captivated them. That's the power of God's resurrection. God came. Listen, Jesus came in the flesh to teach us how to live in the spirit. He's a good, good God. In 1 Corinthians 15, he tells us that the first became a living soul, the last Adam, Christ Jesus. Not second, because then you're waiting for third, fourth, fifth. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. And he's given that life into us. We have the gift of life. The world needs what we have. Don't be afraid. Don't run and hide under a rock. Don't discourage the news and the things that you're hearing. The greater one lives in us. The greater one lives in us. Don't yield to fear. He's always near. He's with us. He's for us. He's in us. And greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. Keep your gaze fixed on Jesus. Not only is he the author and finisher of our faith, but he is truly our forever faithful God. Only he can endure us with strength to endure in these turbulent times. When the world is running everywhere, war and craziness, and they're thinking, we have the peace in us to calm every storm and every situation. When you're hearing about news and things on there and wars and crazy crime and all that stuff on your television set, if you're not watching Barney Fife like I like to do, listen, talk to it. In the name of Jesus, that's not going to happen to my family. I command you to leave and stop right now in the name of Jesus. There's power in that name of Jesus. Power, and it's a real power. power. It's real. It's not just something that we sing about. If only if every believer would recognize the power that we have in Christ Jesus because of the resurrection, we would change this world. We are not, listen, stop allowing people to try to conform you to the world. We have dominion in this world as children of Christ, children of God. I want to close with this last verse here from Colossians 3, 1 to 4 in the Passion Translation. It says, we are one with Christ. Christ's resurrection is our resurrection too. And this is why we're here to yearn for all that is above. For that's where Christ sits, enthroned at the place of all power, honor, and authority. Yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm. And fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural world. Our crucifixion with Christ has severed the ties to this world, this life. And now our true life is hidden away in God, in Christ. And as Christ himself is seen for who he really is, who we really are will also be revealed. For we are now one with him in his glory. Not on the cross. He's not in the grave, in the tomb. He is risen. He is risen indeed. I want to just say this to you as I close. Pastor, you would come up here a minute with me. That those of you, maybe this morning when I made the first invitation, you might be sitting there and saying to yourself, you know what? I'm going to wait and see. I'm Thomas. I got to see for myself. I got to hear those words myself. I don't just say it because I didn't know. I want to hear it, and then I'll make a decision. Maybe that was you, and you wanted to hear that, and the good news touched your heart today because I believe that God, the power of God's word, this miracle, signs, wonders, all I did was simply read the word, the good news, the gospel, the good news of Jesus, and let him do his. So if your heart was stirred today and you thought, well, I didn't have a chance, I didn't want to do it now, but now I do. Let's pray together just right now. You can feast on this. It's never too late to come into the family of God. Listen, before you close your eyes, I want you to see this. God has made, he's laid the table out, and there's a chair, the meal, the feast, and he's got a chair for every single person that walks this earth. There's a seat for you. Maybe you know someone. Maybe you don't know them. Maybe it's you, and you can share with them. Call pastor. Get the message. Play it to him. You can do it yourself. Pull up a chair and come into the kingdom. Let's do that together. Again, so those that might have waited, let's close our eyes. Let's do this. And just put your trust in Jesus and believe in your heart. This prayer, when we say it again, say, Lord Jesus, I give you my everything. You are mine. I want what you have. I'm sorry for my sins. I'm sorry for sinning against you. I believe you're the Son of the living God. I believe you died for me. I believe God raised you from the dead. I believe you carry the eternal life. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and give me that eternal life. Today, I receive, by grace, through faith, you as my Lord and Savior. I proclaim you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me. Today I'm yours. Today I'm yours. I celebrate today. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for bringing me into the family of God and giving me eternal life. I pray. Man, let's pray. All right. I just want to say to you, Pastor, I asked him to come up here because he is the pastor of this church, my brother. I love him to pieces. I want you to know that you can, if you prayed that prayer, he's got teams, he's got people that want to just share with you. You will not find, you would have a hard time finding someone that loves to walk with you, with the Lord, than this man of God. Trust him. Trust him. He'll walk with you in your journey, and I promise you, you'll never regret it. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Man. God bless you. I love you.
All right. Well, we've had some great steak. Anybody want some more beans? Why don't y'all come on up? And I'm going to have them sing a little more. I know you'll enjoy that. And Pastor D, thank you so much. His resurrection is power. His resurrection is promise. His resurrection is personal. That's what I heard today. It can be personal for you. He loves to be personal for you. He loves to manifest his power. He loves to fulfill his promise. His resurrection made that Bible true for all of us. Isn't he great? Don't you love the Lord? Listen, we're going to receive an offering as they start to sing. Baskets are up on the front. Y'all kind of help me pass those back. And after you fill them up yourself, it'd be all right. And look, I'm not taking a special offering for our guests. Now, we've got the beans come from Arkansas.